Save the Narmada Movement and the National Alliance of People's Movement. She's based in India. And that does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Shrifo Dokkaduce, Armata Anjali Kamat, Steve Martinez, Nicole Salazar. I'll be in Seattle on Sunday. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, what's going on? It's DJ Ev with your WUSB concert billboard for Tuesday, March 24th. The Allman Brothers Band is at the Beacon Theater. Block Party and Long Wave are at Terminal 5. And at the Bowery Ballroom, it's Lady Hawk and Hearts Revolution. Looking ahead to Wednesday, the 25th, Morrissey is at Webster Hall at 7:30. Block Party and Long Wave are once again at Terminal 5. And at Sullivan Hall, it's 39 Goodbyes, Shoemaker Brothers, Man on Earth, Quella, and Orange Democracy. If you're a local venue, band, or promoter, and you want to get your gigs listed on the concert billboard, send an email to Scene, that's S-C-E-N-E, at WUSB.FM. As always, thanks for listening to the concert billboard right here on 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook, in case that wasn't clear. It's 6:01... It's 6:02. Things keep changing around here. Time, once again, for another exciting edition of Off the Wall. Okay, now why isn't that coming up? That should be coming up. I pressed the right... Because they switched the numbers? Why'd they do that? Wow. Okay, so now I have to start it all over again. Okay, somebody played musical chairs with the CD players here. Hang on, we gotta wait for it to queue up. There we go. Time, once again, for Off the Wall. Good evening, everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. Sorry for the usual confusion. Sometimes things just happen, and you don't know what's left from right, literally. But I think we have it all sorted out now, all fixed. Apologies to the ladies in the parking lot. I had to interrupt. There was only one space, okay, in the whole parking lot, and they were having a conversation in that space. So I had to sort of pull in menacingly and get them to, and they didn't resume the conversation afterwards. That's why I feel bad. It's not like they moved to a different part of the parking lot to continue. It looked like an important conversation too, at least for one of them. Maybe what I did was I saved the other one, because she got in her car really fast after that, and they didn't speak again. but I had to park, otherwise I wouldn't be here now. So I don't understand why someone would pick the one remaining parking space to have the important conversation. Unless she was forcing the issue on the other person, and in which case, you're welcome for getting out of that. Okay, this is what I have to deal with, just to get started here. We have all kinds of interesting things. Now, I should point out, next week is a fundraiser. In fact, next week and the next 3 weeks after that, I believe, are fundraisers. Meaning that this is probably going to be your last chance to call in and voice your opinions, your rhetoric, whatever it is you like to say over the radio, and speak to however many millions of people are listening right now and over time. And as you know, every program that we do is saved forever. That's right. Not only is it beamed out into space, but it's saved on all kinds of media outlets. And people refer back to it and say, wow, that's what life was like back then. So this is your chance to be immortalized in at least one way. So write down the numbers, 631-632-9872. I don't want to have to go through the whole big begging thing that I did last week. I wasn't even asking for money. I couldn't get anybody to call. So this is the last chance that you'll have before we start asking for money. And then when you call in, you have to pledge something, and it's not really the opportunity to get on the air. And there's not really anything to talk about because we're begging for support. So tonight is your last chance, at least for the next month. 631-632-9872. That's the number. Call other people. Tell them this, too. About half hour... at the half-hour mark, or maybe about a half hour from now, we'll start taking calls on issues of the day, or issues in your life, or ideas on things that can be done better, or pleas for help, pleas for mercy, whatever it is that you have to say to this wide-ranging audience that spans the globe. And who knows what extraterrestrials might be listening. They never call either. Okay, let's first start with a story that could only happen in America. Those are the best kind, aren't they? Yeah. This was something that happened in a Walmart, or it happened involving Walmart, a bunch of Walmarts, perhaps. Delaware State Police are investigating a hoax text message about violent gang attacks at Walmart stores in Delaware and Maryland. Yeah, hoax text messaging. That's the latest thing. Investigators said they have been inundated with telephone calls regarding a text message that has been circulating throughout central and southern Delaware and portions of Maryland. Not quite sure how a text message just circulates. Usually you send a text message to people you know, but I suppose it's possible that you can use an email address to mail all kinds of people and have it show up on their phones, but then your email address shows up as the source. Of course, you can do that anonymously. There's all kinds of ways to get around it, but it shouldn't be too difficult to at least pinpoint some place where it might have come from. Because most people just aren't that good at hiding their tracks. Anyway, the text message reportedly read, and this is verbatim, "I don't know," and no spelled N-O-E, "how true this is, but here it is. Don't go to, number two, any Walmarts tonight." I'm not going to even say that they use the number two in the word tonight, because, you know, the way our texting culture now exists, you might as well just make that the way you spell the word. So, whatever. "Don't go to any Walmarts tonight. There will be a gang initiation, and they have to kill three women at each store. Tell your loved ones." And ones is spelled 1S. Okay, that was just too good to pass up. The message warns of an alleged gang initiation in which women will be killed at Walmart. I think I just said that, though. The messages also warn women not to go to Walmart. The text messages do not threaten any specific Walmart stores. Investigators have found no credible information deeming the message a real threat, and... quote-unquote, this is kind of weird, "open source information reveals this as an urban myth." I guess they checked the Linux system or something. Or FreeBSD, maybe? OpenBSD? Yes, open source information revealed that. Walmart spokeswoman Kelly Cheeseman released a statement that read, I wasn't making fun of her name, so, you know, her name is Cheeseman. I didn't say anything funny, yet I know people are laughing at the fact that her name is Cheeseman. That's kind of immature, don't you think? I mean, this is a serious story. we shouldn't even be focusing on Ms. Cheeseman's unfortunate last name. Anyway, let me start that over because we got derailed. Walmart spokeswoman Kelly Cheeseman released a statement that read in part, "The safety and security of our customers and associates is our top priority. We are aware of the message being circulated and are working with local authorities to enhance our security efforts at our stores in the area. While we take these types of situations seriously, we regard this as being only a rumor, much like similar rumors that have circulated via email in previous years." I wasn't aware of previous rumors that Ms. Cheeseman is apparently aware of. But, okay, that's part one of the story. Yeah, there are two parts to this story. Now, a Louisiana Tech University student who was wearing a gun on his belt as he walked around in a Walmart store faces a loitering charge, according to police in Ruston, Louisiana. Prairieville native. Boy, that sounds cool, doesn't it? I'm a Prairieville native. Yeah, well, Alfred Sorage is a Prairieville native. He was arrested on a charge of remaining in a place or on land after being forbidden after management at the store at 1201 North Service Road East notified police about 6 p.m. last Wednesday. Sorage was asked to leave the gun in his vehicle because he was scaring customers. And when he refused, police took him into custody. Only in America. It's brilliant. Louisiana law allows a person to wear an exposed firearm so long as it does not create a disturbance. And this is inevitably the kind of thing that results when you have laws like that. And apparently it was creating a bit of a disturbance. Walmart employees were especially anxious because they had received warnings by text message that a gang-related shooting would occur in a Walmart store. Now, it's weird because that was in Delaware and Maryland, but this is all the way down in Louisiana. They got the same text message. And the other news story apparently didn't know about this. Now, authorities in other jurisdictions, including Shreveport, dismissed the warnings Wednesday as a hoax that has been resurfacing for years. Apparently everybody knows that now. Sorage had been an advocate for gun rights on Louisiana Tech's campus. Wants to swagger around there with his gun showing in addition, apparently. Now, last year, State Representative Ernest Wooten introduced guns on campus legislation that ran into serious opposition from higher education officials. You know, what's wrong with higher education officials? You know, you would think that learning would be number one for people in that position. And what better way to learn about what guns can do than to have them be all over the place, have people carry them into classrooms, into cafeterias, into nursery schools. This is a gun. This is what a gun can do. See? Be careful. Don't do that. That's called education. That's called informing the public. And these higher education officials would have you not know this by objecting to somebody walking around campus showing their guns. It's just a sad commentary on the state of today's culture. Anyway, this representative, Ernest Wooten, promised, "I'll be back." Did he say it like Schwarzenegger? Did he do that? Did he really do that? Because that would be so mature and silly. But he said it anyway. "I'll be back." He said that at the end of a lengthy presentation on the House floor that ended with him withdrawing the bill from consideration. It was so sad. Wooten is chairman of the House Criminal Justice Committee. He got the bill out of committee, but did not have the votes to pass it in the House after a mail and email campaign by LSU, in which the president, chancellor, and head football coach, Les Miles, said allowing guns on campus would interfere with recruiting top students and players. I mean, come on. A football coach should know that a player who can dodge bullets is going to make a damn good offensive end or whatever it is they do in that sport. So I would consider introducing the guns as part of the training. You know how in the old Westerns, they'd say, "Hey, Sheriff, dance," you know, and they'd shoot into the ground. He'd have to dance to avoid the bullets. Do something similar to those people that have to do the zigzagging on the football field. Because that's called incentive. That's a reason to want to be as good as you can possibly be. So you can live to be 19. Anyway, Wooten has reintroduced his bill for the 2009 regular season that begins April 27th. House Bill 27 would allow legally registered concealed weapons on Louisiana college campuses. Now tell me something. How can you tell someone has an illegally registered concealed weapon? You know, that's concealed. It's concealed, so you can't really tell if they have it until they unconceal it. But wow, what a country! What an amazing country we live in, where this is what people care about more than anything else. Having the right to walk around Walmart showing their guns, or go around a college campus showing guns. You know, we fought having the police here, the campus security here, have guns for many, many years. Eventually lost that fight. But still think it's a bad idea. And in many countries, cops don't have guns. And gun crime is way down as a result. Because criminals don't have guns, because cops don't have guns. And as soon as you start having this arms race, it just never ends. Then you have automatic weapons, and then you have to have armed guards in churches and in kindergartens. And before you know it, people think that's the way you're supposed to be living. They don't remember another time when it wasn't like this. I'm beginning to wonder if it was just fantasy. My high school, used to be able to walk in, walk out, nobody would check your ID, nobody would make a big deal. Can you imagine that these days? Simply unbelievable. Okay, so that's our little stroll down Americana to see what the craziness is happening. What else do we have here? We've got some new language. That's right, Guantanamo inmates are no longer known as enemy combatants. The Obama administration has stopped calling them that as of about a week and a half ago, and incorporated international law as its basis for holding the prisoners while it works to close the facility. And it's going to take about a year to close that place down, figure out what to do with all the guests that are still there. The U.S. Justice Department has filed court papers outlining a further legal and linguistic shift from the anti-terrorism policies of Republican President George W. Bush, which drew worldwide condemnation as violations of human rights and international law. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder said, "As we work toward developing a new policy to govern detainees, it is essential that we operate in a manner that strengthens our national security, is consistent with our values, and is governed by law." Some human rights advocates said the shift by the new Democratic president did not go far enough in dealing with hundreds of suspected Islamist militants held mostly for years without trial at a U.S. naval base in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. The government may have eliminated the term enemy combatant, but it is still claiming the authority to detain people far beyond the traditional norms of humanitarian law. That's according to attorney Devin Shafi of the group Human Rights First. The term enemy combatant was adopted by Bush after the September 11th attacks in 2001 to refer to prisoners held under military orders he issued to launch the war on terrorism. The wording became emblematic of his policies, along with razor wire and orange jumpsuits. No word on what we're going to be calling those things in the future. But yeah, that's something, isn't it? No longer enemy combatants, but still a lot of prisoners. No real news on what's going to happen to them. All right, what else we have here? We have the human... the United Nations. Well, that's a Freudian slip, isn't it? Special investigator on human rights in the Palestinian territories has said Israel's military offensive on Gaza would seem to constitute a war crime of the greatest magnitude under international law. That's right. Richard Falk calls the Israeli attacks a massive assault on a densely populated urbanized setting, with the civilian population subjected to an inhumane form of warfare that kills, maims, and inflicts mental harm. His findings were written in a report submitted to the UN Human Rights Council on Thursday. Islamic and African countries backed by China, Cuba, and Russia have a majority in the 47-member forum. Neither Israel nor the United States are members. Falk said the Geneva Convention required forces at war to be able to distinguish between military targets and civilians. If that is not possible, then launching the attacks is inherently unlawful. Israel launched its offensive on the Hamas-run Gaza Strip in December, saying it aimed to stop rocket fire by Hamas into southern Israel. A ceasefire was declared on January 18th after the offensive left 1,300 Palestinians dead, many of them women and children. 3 Israeli civilians were killed during the offensive, 10 soldiers. Fox said the Gaza border blockade also was not legally justified and may represent a crime against peace, a principle established at the Nuremberg trial of Nazi war criminals. Sealing the border, denying people the right to flee the war zone as refugees, may also be a crime against humanity, his report said. He said Israel's violations included alleged targeting of schools, mosques, and ambulances during the offensive, and its use of weapons, including white phosphorus, as well as Hamas firing rockets at civilian targets in southern Israel. Yes, they're included too. Falk called for an independent experts group to investigate possible war crimes committed by both the Israeli military and Hamas. He recommended witness testimonies as well as explanations from Israel and Palestinian military commanders. He gave the same death toll from Israel's offensive in December and January, 1,434 Palestinians, 960 of those civilians. And that's the same death toll as the Palestinian Human Rights Center. Israel disputes the figures and accuses Hamas fighters in Gaza of using civilians as human shields. Falk said Israel's allegations should be investigated. Now, is this going to go anywhere? That's the question. It'd be nice to actually see charges filed, people put away, and the country is having to pay severe penalties for doing this kind of thing. Would be nice to see the United Nations actually have some power. So this great picture off a website of this person, presumably in the occupied territories, West Bank or whatever, Gaza Strip, holding a sign saying, "You take my water, burn my olive trees, destroy my house, take my job, steal my land, imprison my father, kill my mother, bomb my country, starve us all, humiliate us all. But I am to blame. I shot a rocket back." Oh, yeah. Not that I'm saying shooting a rocket is a good thing, but you know what? Those rockets really aren't doing a whole lot. They really aren't. All right. Well, that was fun, but this will be even more fun. Yes, it's a new feature on Off the Wall entitled Bible Talk, where we choose to look at the words of the Bible and interpret them in our own way. Or look at the interpretations of other people's looks at the Bible and interpret their interpretations in our own way. And this week we analyzed some words as found on a website, focusing on the Reverend Jerry Falwell, the late Reverend Jerry Falwell. Bible verses that Reverend Falwell chooses to ignore. Here are some verses that come directly from the Bible that preachers refuse to quote publicly, proving that they selectively pick and choose verses out of context, which justify their personal bigotry against gay and lesbian people. Some preachers often quote Leviticus 20:13 against gay and lesbian people, which says, and this is important, so pay attention, people. "If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." And again, that's in Leviticus. Leviticus. Hold on, I'm going to say this right. If nothing else today, I'm going to get this right. Leviticus. How many I's are there? Leviticus. Okay, Leviticus, that's what I'm going to say. I want to say another syllable, but I just can't get my mouth to do that. Leviticus 20:13. Now, let's take a look at some other verses that are in the same book as the above verse. This exercise proves that those preachers who are so enthusiastic about quoting Leviticus, boy, I hate that name, 20:13, become awfully quiet when it comes to other verses. Far from being about faith, this is really about the desires of certain preachers to promote religious prejudice against gay and lesbian people. Are you ready for another quote? Here's one. From Leviticus 20:19. "For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. Yes, Leviticus 20:9. Now imagine what would happen today if we killed every child who was disrespectful to his parents. Most preachers conveniently choose to ignore this verse. And that's merely three verses before Leviticus 20:13, the one we quoted earlier. Are you ready for another quote? Okay, if a man lies with a woman during her sickness, yes, her sickness, her monthly sickness, that's how they refer to it in the Bible. If a man lies with a woman during her sickness and uncovers her nakedness, he has discovered her flow. My God. What? They just sat around the campfire coming up with ways to describe certain things. Pretty freaky. He discovers her flow and her aunt flow, I suppose. She has uncovered the flow. Let me start this again because it's kind of weird the way it's phrased. If a man lies with a woman during her sickness and uncovers her nakedness, he has discovered her flow, and she has uncovered the flow of her blood. Both of them shall be cut off from her people. Leviticus 20:18. Now, imagine what would happen today if we deported every man and woman who had ever had sex together while the woman was having her period, which is exactly what the above verse commands. Most preachers choose to ignore this verse, which is merely five verses after Leviticus 20:13. This is fun, isn't it? Okay, here's something else from Leviticus 25:44 and part of 45. Your male and female slaves are to come from the nations around you. From them you may buy slaves. You may also buy some of the temporary residents that are on special living among you. I just added that. Living among you and members of their clans born in your country, and they will become your property. Did you ever wonder where racist Southerners and even the Supreme Court in the 1800s got the idea that slaves were just property and not people? From the above verse, which most preachers in their picking and choosing choose to completely ignore. Or maybe someone should ask these preachers if they support slavery, as does this verse. Those Southerners were still racist, even though they were quoting the Bible to support their racism, just like some preachers quote Leviticus 20:13 to support their bigotry against gay and lesbian people. Here's another quote. Do not cut the hair at the sides of your head or clip off the edges of your beard. That's Leviticus 19:27. Now, almost no preacher has ever preached against the evils of shaving, as they choose to completely ignore this verse as well. How about this one? This is from the book of Deuteronomy. Yeah, that's a better name, isn't it? Deuteronomy 15:1. At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. Yes, imagine the chaos that would befall the American economy if the United States government decided to cancel all debts every 7 years. It would be an unmitigated disaster, which is probably why most anti-gay preachers quietly choose to ignore this verse as well. Now, here's one of my favorites, one of my all-time favorites. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of the town. They shall say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard." It's a leap of logic there. Okay, he's a drunkard. Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. Deuteronomy 21:18 through 21. Yeah, now if these preachers were to tell parents to bring their disrespectful children to City Hall headquarters to be stoned, they'd probably lose their entire following, which is why the preachers don't quote this either. And it goes on. How about this one? Do not plant your field with two kinds of seed. Do not wear material woven of two kinds of material, Leviticus 19:19. You know what? This is a bit intrusive, don't you think? I mean, I'll wear what I damn well please. I'll plant what I want. Why should I can't do that, can I? We still have certain kinds of plants that are legal here. But wow, don't plant your field with two kinds of seeds. Can't really get more personal than that. Anyway, farmers in this country almost always grow more than one kind of crop in their fields. So most of the preachers choose to ignore this verse as well. If they were to preach against farmers, the farmers would be in an uproar. And most of these anti-gay preachers also ignore the biblical command to not wear clothes that have two different kinds of material. And as this commentator states, I could be wrong, but the shirts that these preachers are often seen wearing must be a cotton/polyester blend, the most common in the USA. Yeah, they're in a lot of trouble. So, what does this all mean? It means that most anti-gay preachers really are bigots, even though they quote the Bible to back up their bigotry against gays and lesbian people. They pick and choose what parts of the Bible justify their condemnation of gay and lesbian people and ignore those which do not. They quote the Bible, but conveniently choose to ignore verses that are in the very same chapter as the ones they quote. And you have to understand, bigots usually always use out-of-context facts, non sequiturs, and half-truths to justify their bigotry. This website can be found at www.falwell.com, and that's spelled differently than the way Jerry Falwell spelled his name. It's spelled FALLWELL.com. And this page is verses.html. And if you have some sites to send us to or words of the good book to us for us to read, by all means, email us, otw@2600.com. And specify Bible Talk, because we're here to try and interpret just what it was they meant way back then and how it applies to us today. Okay, enough of that. It's 6:33 right now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go take myself into delay straight away and announce that the phone number is 631-632-9872 and that today is, in fact, the last day before we start our biannual fundraiser. And we use the very same phone lines that you might be talking upon tonight, so it won't be possible. It'll be very difficult for you to call in the next month if you want to be on the air. So, let's go into delay. Again, the phone number is 631-632-9872. 631-632-WUSB. Let us know what's on your mind with regards to religion, politics, sex, current events, past events, future events, anything like that. Here's somebody to help us get to the other side.
Hi, this is Kyle from Reiner Maria, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM.
And thank you very much for that. Again, our phone number, 631-632-9872. And we have a bunch of other stories to focus on, to kill time if we need to do that. Until those phones start lighting up, like they did 2 weeks ago when we had a whole bunch. Had all kinds of people calling in. Last week, not so many. 631-632-9872. Let's see, where shall we start? I don't want to get into something too long, because we get a bunch of calls, then then I'll have to stop. Well, you know, we started last week. We started to talk about Battlestar Galactica being at the United Nations. And I don't know how that went exactly, but Commander William Adama and President Laura Roslin, or at least the actors who played them, were supposed to meet with several UN representatives. Two executive producers and writers are also were also scheduled to participate. And get this, Whoopi Goldberg, who was a big fan of the show, is going to moderate the historical meeting of minds. And that took place at the United Nations. I believe that already took place. And Battlestar Galactica ended last Friday and confused everybody. So I'm not even going to try and get into that. It's more confusing than 24, and I'm not even going to try to get into that anymore either. But it's interesting to see people going to the United Nations because they played leaders in a science fiction show that had to do with battling robots and machines and things like that. I guess there's something we can learn. The Obama administration also, to move on to a different story, to expand openness and transparency, has rescinded a Bush administration's standard on withholding government documents. That's according to Attorney General Eric Holder last Thursday. And this is potentially pretty good news, I think. All Obama administration departments and agencies will release documents requested under the Freedom of Information Act unless doing so is forbidden by law or would harm a government interest. In 2001, then-Attorney General John Ashcroft issued guidance to the Bush administration that the Justice Department would defend decisions to withhold records unless they lack a sound legal basis. But Holder says the new guidelines are designed to ensure greater openness and transparency. Now the department will defend the denial only if the agency reasonably foresees that disclosure would harm an interest protected by federal laws or disclosure is prohibited by law. The attorney general said the new administration wants to usher in a new era of open government. He said the new rule for officials facing facing whether to grant a request for information is clear. In the face of doubt, openness prevails. Yeah. Okay, you know what? This is starting to annoy me. No calls? Nobody? Why bother? Okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the internet. I'm going to go right over to the internet and see if it's even working. If it's not working, then that's an explanation. And you know what? It's not working. Well, at least it's not working for us. Or either that or it's very... Okay, there it is. Boy, is it ever slow. Okay, now I'm going to click on the stream. Let's see if the stream is working. And if the stream is working, then you have no excuse.
Why bother?
Uh-huh. See, okay, there I am. What I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the internet.
That's me.
I'm going to go right over to the internet and see
the
if
internet
it's
is working.
Working. All right. So there's no excuse. Okay, there are the phone. You see, this is what I have to do. I have to get angry. I have to get nasty. It shouldn't have to be this way. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
I'd like to get on the air.
You are on the air right now. Your wish has been granted.
All right.
What's on your mind?
You didn't give us a subject, what you wanted to talk about.
Well, yeah, I guess...
Out here listening, but we don't know what you want to talk about.
I want to leave it... Well, you see, if I give a subject, undoubtedly people are going to say, I want to talk about something else. So I sort of skip over that stage now. But you raise a good point. I should maybe at least give one potential subject. But, well, it's too late for you. What's on your mind?
No, I was just listening to you quoting the Bible. I don't know about the seed... Maybe they weren't speaking about farmland. Maybe they were speaking about, not to spread your seed, more than one seed in your field.
No, they were speaking about cross-pollination or something. There was a lot of interest in farming in the Bible as well.
Yeah, all right.
I don't think they were speaking metaphorically.
Maybe more along the lines of not to commit adultery.
Well, that's in there as well. That's certainly in there. But they also have other things having to do with your daily life and how best to live it.
Well, it still pertains to us even 2,000 years later, right?
Well, I mean, what's interesting about that piece is just showing we've all heard the quote against gay behavior from the Bible, but we never hear those other quotes. We never hear about these other things that you can get stoned to death for being a disrespectful son or being rebellious or stubborn or something like that. So if you take them all seriously, then it really affects all of our lives very, very, very basically.
Absolutely.
And, I don't mean any disrespect to people who believe in this kind of thing. I personally think just about all religion is pretty silly, but I do respect it. I like church buildings. I like the whole ceremonial thing. But as far as a way of preaching to everybody in the world and condemning those people who don't agree with you, that's something I cannot ever get on board with.
Some people do live their lives by the book, and others, like you said, pick and choose what's good for them or good for someone who they're speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hypocritical in some points, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, we're all hypocrites to some degree, and it's important for us to be able to see where we're being hypocritical. I don't think we can really stop being hypocritical. It's part of our human nature, but at least if we can recognize that, I'm not really all that consistent with how I treat people or what I believe in, then at least you might learn something.
Absolutely. You learn something new every day if you listen, right?
Yeah, I like to think that.
Yep. All right, well, I'm still listening, and good to talk to you.
All right, where are you calling from?
Patrog,
great. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay, have a good day.
Take care. We had other calls, and they went away. Okay, here, another call's come back. But again, our phone number is 631-632-9872. Yeah, I'm sorry, I left the subject open. But that gives you freedom. Can you handle the freedom? Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up, please. Oh, you hung up. You see, so I don't know if it's people becoming afraid or people don't understand that calling involves speaking as well as just calling. So, yeah, call and speak. 631-632-9872. That's our telephone number. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi. I'm also calling from Patchogue.
Wow, two calls from Patchogue. Who would have thought that?
Yeah.
Amazing. What's on? You got to turn me down, though. Otherwise, it'll be very confusing. What's on your mind this fine evening?
Hey, my daughter says the Obama administration is looking to... We'll make the school day longer and cut the summer vacation down to 2 months, and she's very upset.
I haven't heard that. Really? That's something they're seriously considering doing?
Yeah, they're looking to do it,
uh-huh.
I guess, to give them more time in school and actually keep people... that need them to, the kids to be in school so they can work more hours or better hours. I mean, have you heard that?
I haven't heard anything specific. I mean, I've heard people, theorizing, how can we improve things? Maybe we can do this, but nothing specific,
I don't know. I mean, she seems to be upset by it. She thinks the school day is too long already for her.
Yeah, well, I was the same way when I was a kid. I thought the school day was plenty long. May I ask what grade she's in?
What grade are you in?
You don't know what grade your daughter's in?
She's in fourth grade.
Fourth grade. Okay. It could just be one of those elementary school rumors that circulate occasionally,
He believes it's an elementary school rumor. There might not be any truth to it.
Yeah. Does she want to come on and talk about this? Alleviate her fears a little bit?
Well, we're just getting home. We're going to search on the internet to see if there's any truth to the rumor.
Yeah, search on the internet because the internet is a way to tell if any rumor is true.
Want to talk to it? Just say she's afraid.
Well, something to be afraid of. Tell her if she talks to me on the air, I'll make sure that there won't be any increased school day.
We'll contact you next week after we research it.
All right. Good luck with that. Thanks for your call, and hope things don't get too out of hand down there in Patchogue. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Evening.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
So I had a long speech of what I wanted to say when I came on your show, and now I'm like a deer in the headlights.
Okay, well, first tell me where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Toronto, Canada.
Toronto, Canada? That's a different country. Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I listen to your show quite often, actually, when I'm working, and been listening to all your archives.
Great. You're listening to the Voice of Long Island as we're posting that?
I'm listening to Off the Wall from 2003 right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm slowly working my way through your archives. And I just wanted to know, which is the one where you go, you travel by freighter to Japan? Because that's the one I'm interested in.
Well,
and I
actually,
don't know where the heck to find it.
Well, that was the year 2005 that I did that. And basically, there are a couple of recordings on Off the Wall from the freighter. And on Off the Hook, I would call in live from the freighter. So it's two different ways of showing the same thing. This program, it's always a microphone. Maybe it's on tape, but it's usually not on the phone. Whereas Off the Hook, no matter where I am, I'll call in live.
Oh, okay. Because I'm really interested in hearing that. I spent a year living overseas in French Polynesia, so I'm looking to go back there, and I'd like to see if there's a way to do it by freighter. Right?
Now, okay, where exactly is French Polynesia?
It's actually Tahiti.
Okay.
It's about 3,000 miles from Australia.
Okay. I'm a little ignorant about that part of the world. 3,000 miles from Australia would put it how far from, say, South America?
I know it's close to, not far from Peru. It's about 2,000 kilometers from Peru.
Okay.
It's about a nine-hour flight out of LAX.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long, long flight.
Yeah. That part of the world, you know, I can't even imagine what it must be like there. You say you've already been there, or you're going there for the first time?
I lived there for a year.
You lived there for a year? What is it like? Do you feel like you're just not part of the earth?
Yes. That's to put it mildly. There's some islands where, I mean, I lived on an outer island about an hour away from Bora Bora, and they were so far behind as far as things that are in the United States and whatnot in Canada.
Uh-huh.
Internet access was pathetically slow. You wanted to make a phone call, or you couldn't even get a dial tone unless you put money in these phones, eh?
Wow. Just like the old days here.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a nice place to visit, but I don't think I'd ever want to live there again.
But you lived there for a year.
Yeah.
What made you do that in the first place?
My wife was born there on a small island, and her father was Canadian.
Uh-huh.
They decided they go back to French Polynesia. They had family land and whatnot down there, eh?
Uh-huh.
But it was a fairly interesting experience. I mean, I wouldn't say that I'd do it again. Just I liked it there, but I liked it to visit and not to stay.
I'd love to see that place. There are all kinds of strange islands all around the world, located between, say, Africa and South America, just in the middle of nowhere. You can only get there by freighter. If you're there, you can't really leave when you want to. You leave whenever a boat shows up. And I just wonder what it must be like to find yourself born on an island like that. I mean, you must have spoken to a lot of the natives, the people who actually live there. What's the population?
The population of the country, I believe, is about 150,000 to 200,000.
Uh-huh.
They probably got about 400 politicians. So, I mean, the ratio of politicians to actual citizens is really high up there. And it's probably... They've been changing the presidency probably every, like, once a year. They keep, you know, one president gets in power, then he loses power, then another president comes in, and it's a little bit known for its corruption, eh?
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that's nothing new there. But of the people that you met and talked to, do most of them seem happy there? Do people want to go someplace else in the world?
They were really curious about North America. And they were always amazed by anything that came out of North America. You just mentioned it come from North America.
Uh-huh. They're
excited because, you know, they're a French colony. So to them, you know, they don't really like the French that much. So they would, you know, say, the hell with the French. And, you know, we love the USA and whatnot.
Now, I don't understand. Okay, I can see you saying to hell with the French. But why would they say they love the USA?
Because most of their culture, a lot of the stuff that they're seeing on television, unfortunately television is a little bit of a... It's kind of a two-sided sword with them because they see the things that they want to have or want to own, and they lose a bit of the openness because they start to become more materialistic, eh?
Right, right.
I mean, a lot of the popular music was in English, actually. Like, they play reggae down there. They don't understand the words, but they listen to reggae.
Uh-huh.
They know who Shania Twain is, which was unbelievable to me that they knew who Shania Twain was.
Wow.
We're talking like the middle of, you know, South Pacific, and, you know, there's not much that comes in as far as news except for what's on TV.
Yeah. Now, how do they get their TV? Where does that come from?
It's all satellite.
Okay.
All run by, I believe it's Canal France or whatever, and they run a satellite system, and, you know, the odd person gets it, and then some of them, they actually manage to get it with antennas.
From antennas, like regular aerial antennas?
Yeah, just regular aerial antennas.
Well, they must be picking something up from French Polynesia, then, that's being broadcast.
Right out of French Polynesia.
Uh-huh. I see.
The island I was on was about 300 miles from the main island of Papeete or Tahiti. And they managed to get the main station there on antenna, but, I mean, it wasn't very clear, and you'd have to fiddle with the antenna for however long, and
Wow.
It's an interesting place to live. It's
really?
Definitely, if you haven't been there, you should go there just to see probably one of the most beautiful places on Earth.
And there are so many places like that. You know, it's so frustrating that this Earth is so big.
Oh.
There's so many places that you want to see you never get around to. What about radio? Do people listen to shortwave there, FM, AM?
Regular radio.
Mm-hmm.
They listen to, like, normal FM and AM, or mostly FM, I believe. I don't know if that AM works so well because of the stratosphere problem or whatever. I don't know how that works. But I know that that's a big thing. They'll ride around on the island on their bikes with the little radios playing and, you know, listening to the music or whatnot, eh?
Wow. That's great.
It's a very interesting place. And, you know, I wanted to just say one more thing before I hang up with you. You should be doing a blog about travel. You know that? Because I know you're a travel bug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people tell me I should be doing blogs about all sorts of things. Here's my question. Where do you find the time to do all the writing? Because then you can't be doing the traveling or whatever it is you're, quote-unquote, blogging about.
That's true.
I need to split in two or something.
That's true. I agree with you.
Time management.
I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, time management is my biggest problem because, there are so many things that I'm involved in right now that I want to be doing. I want to be doing more things. It just gets very frustrating because then you have to do the mundane things like taking out the garbage, you know, and feeding various animals and things. And there's just no time. And if I could just figure out a way to have the time to travel to all these places and to do all the things you need to do in a normal day, then actually, yeah, you might accomplish a lot more.
Find that you're locked down because of your radio gig? Do you find that maybe that's part of the hindrance? You kind of want to say, okay, I want to stop doing the show because it's locking me down to where I'm at.
Not really, because I can always, like I said, do Off the Hook from wherever I happen to be, and Off the Wall is a show that I can record anywhere and simply figure out a way to upload it. I think it's good to have something, kind of anchors that keep you going, that you do the same thing every week, as long as you don't do it the same exact way every week.
Yeah,
so that's something. Yeah, I don't feel that's something that's keeping me from doing other things. I think it's just a sense of habit that we all get into in our normal day-to-day lives that we get locked into.
You're in the comfort zone.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
but,
thank you.
Yeah, any other thoughts from Canada before you're going to go back to French Polynesia, you say?
Eventually, not anytime soon. I mean, I'm still looking at it to do it properly this time and go down that I'm financially a lot better off than I was before. I mean, it's not a country that you want to go broke in.
No, probably not.
A bottle of Coke is $5 U.S., so we didn't drink a lot of Coke.
Wow. Well, then what's cheap over there? Something must be cheap.
Bread.
Bread is cheap. Well, bread should be cheap. Yes, bread should be cheap. Is it mostly French cuisine?
Not really on the other islands. It's mostly just fish. I mean, fish and more fish.
Yeah, if you don't like fish, I guess you're really in the wrong place.
I mean, I like fish, but I don't like it on an everyday kind of basis. Mm-hmm. Eh? And there's a whole set of problems that go along with eating fish every day. I mean, you know, you have to go and get it every day, and it's time consuming.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the other thing. People back in centuries ago, they would have to basically figure out how to eat every day and either hunt themselves or fish themselves or, you know, spend endless lines at various merchants to get all the materials needed to produce something. You know, there are no fast food drive-ups or, you know, things that are instantly made for you.
Right. They are some of the most physically fit people I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
I've seen them pick up weights that I've never seen anybody in North America pick up.
Wow.
From, you know, being physical all day and, you know, swimming and fishing and hunting or whatever it is, you know, that they have to do. It. I mean, unbelievable as far as strength goes, eh?
Uh-huh. And their life expectancy, is that up there as well?
I would say it's probably about 70.
Okay. So it's about the same as us in the end.
About the same, and anybody from North America, I think, would be a lot shorter, just because we're so conditioned to being in sanitary environments.
Right.
That little things that like a cut or a scrape, they would just lay me right up, eh?
Uh huh.
Tropical heat and whatnot. You get a cut, it gets infected, and then it just goes on from there. And they get a cut, and they'd be fine. Whereas I'd be like laid up for 3 days.
That's the other thing. You mentioned tropical heat. I imagine this is one of these places that's really hot all the time.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
It's continuing hot with a chance of hot. There's no in between except for the rainy season, and you know, the rainy season you just kind of stay indoors all the time and watch it rain.
Yeah, you see, I wouldn't be able to tolerate the heat very well. I don't like heat all that much. I can tolerate it for a little bit, but I get very bored with it after a while.
Yeah, it's very hot down there, and the added problem they have on the other islands is they don't actually put screens in the windows.
Oh boy, so they got all kinds of visitors.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and that's. They don't seem to understand that that's a real problem with the dengue fever and malaria. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then they have a wash basin outside, and that's a melting pot for mosquito larvae and whatnot. So, yeah, not really meant for North Americans, because we're just so used to, you know, hot water and you know, clean environments. And when we get into that, we don't really adapt well to cuts or infections, eh?
Yeah, it's weird, because when you're North American traveling in various places, like when I went to Mongolia, and I was staying in one of the tents that supposedly a good part of the nomadic population stays in. But this was a special tent made for travelers, and it had hot water. It even had a TV set inside. So I didn't feel like it was really exactly the way they were living, but it was close enough for me. I didn't want to get that much closer to that kind of living on a regular basis. You know, for a couple of nights, I guess it's okay. But
throat singers when you were there?
Sorry?
Mongolia, did you see the throat singing when you were there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I saw a kid who was throat singing. It was incredible.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Yeah, that's something to behold for sure. And I brought back some CDs of the throat singers, which
most of them at all, or are they just like MP3s or videos, or
I think they were. It was a CD of MP3s. I believe that's what it was.
I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we've played it a couple of times. Maybe we'll play some more on this program in future weeks. But listen, sir, thanks so much for calling, and it's great to meet a kindred spirit as far as travelers and things like that. I'm sure we'll meet up some point.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care. And call from Toronto. Talk about French Polynesia. You see, that's what I didn't expect to be talking about today, is French Polynesia. Yeah. It's great to be surprised. I guess that's maybe one of the reasons why I don't set a topic, so that I can be surprised. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. I want to thank people who called in and remind people that, yes, we will be in fundraising mode next week and for the few weeks after that. Very important, especially in this time and age of radio stations falling apart and media changing in ways that sometimes are good and sometimes are very bad. One thing that I think we can all agree upon that's very good is a station like this, and hopefully we can help keep it going starting next week. So keep that in mind, spread the word, and we'll have all kinds of fun ways to thank you for keeping us on the air. All right, time for us to head out of here. I want to end with I guess a good memory from the past. How many of you remember this? One of my favorite bands of all time, Geronimo Jackson. Look them up if you don't know about them. They're just incredible. And we'll see you next week. LTW at 2600.com. Good night.
Darling lady, how you been? All the lovers, are we just friends?
And you are listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. Let's hear a little throat singing.